بسم الله، إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه، أما بعد. After listening to the talk of Abu Muhammad Jamaiki, it occurred October 28, 2018. My first reaction was to just ignore it and not respond to it. And this is because of the more beneficial things that we have going on, teaching durus, translations, and the likes. But after careful consideration, I've decided to respond to these inaccuracies that were mentioned in this talk. And likewise, to give a little history of the problems that have occurred between Abu Muhammad Jamaiki and myself, and how a once relationship that was based upon respect, brotherhood, and Salafia ended with him making these false allegations. Nah, wallahu musta'an. And this clarification is only for those who desire the truth. As for the person who desires, as for the one who enjoys discord and rejoices in discord, or they take discord between the believers as entertainment, then their likes, they will never be pleased. They'll never be pleased. So having said this, I would like to respond with the following observations. The first is that to claim that anyone lied to Sheikh Obaid is a lie and is clearly false. To claim that anyone lied to Sheikh Obaid is a lie, and it's clearly false. We simply read to Sheikh Obaid, Hafidhahullahu Ta'ala, the exact wording of a text message that Abu Muhammad Jamaiki sent to a brother accusing us of deception. And then Jamaiki told the brother that after that, he said, spread it. He said, you can spread that message. The text message read from Abu Muhammad, Assalamu alaikum Sheikh. I wanted to inform you that Sheikh Obaid, after Abdul Razak visited him, he agreed to teach a class for the seminar and also a class once a month at Masjid Ahl Hadith. I'm sending this text to show the trickery of our Salafi brothers. Please inform the brothers, the 9 speakers who were present in that meeting, of deception. May Allah rectify our affairs. You have my permission to send this to anyone you please. Abu Muhammad Nadir ibn Uzair al-Jamaiki. Sheikh Obaid, he responded to this. We read the same text message. We didn't add anything. We didn't delete anything. We read it to Sheikh Obaid, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala. From the things he said, I do not know what he intends by this. As for the statement of Abu Muhammad Jamaiki, deception. I do not know what he intends by this. So if he's calling that meeting and what occurred in it between me and the brothers, Hassan al-Somali, Anwar al-Amriki, and Abu Muhammad al-Maghribi, deception, we request that he brings his proof. And if he cannot do so, then he is a liar, and that which he said. Also, this man is unknown to me, majhul, to the end of what Sheikh Obaid, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, said regarding that. So, to claim that anyone lied to Sheikh Obaid, where was the lie? The text message was read, and Sheikh Obaid, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, responded. So where did anyone lie to Sheikh Obaid? We read the text that he sent to a brother and said, spread it. That's the first matter. The second matter that I would like to address is his claim that we didn't visit him in the hospital whilst he was just a few doors down from a brother we were visiting. This is also a lie. The date that I, along with a few brothers with me, visited the sons of our brothers Nasheed and Hakim, it was on Saturday, July 14th, 2018. This is the day we visited the sons of our brother Nasheed and Hakim. They got shot. And we visited them in the hospital. That was on Saturday, July 14, 2018. I did not learn of Abu Muhammad being admitted to the hospital until days later. Now, when the text message began to circulate regarding that, and may Allah cure him. And far as my knowledge, Abu Muhammad, he wasn't in the hospital on the 14th of July. He wasn't in the hospital on July 14th, which was the day that I went, Abu Hassan went, and some other brothers. Abu Muhammad Jamaiki wasn't in the hospital that day. He was admitted later. Some days later. The third matter, as for what Abu Zain of Tawfiq referred to as someone being on billboards of sin, As for what Abu Zainab Tawfiq referred to as someone being on billboards of sin, then this is far away from a naqd al-ilmi, from a knowledge-based criticism, where Abu Zainab, he interjected and he said, you have individuals on billboards of sin to the end of that. This is far away from naqd al-ilmi, a knowledge-based criticism. Because I've never known that sins prevent from visiting a Muslim while they're sick. So there's two errors. Number one, Abu Muhammad wasn't even in the hospital during that day. And number two is Abu Zainab Tawfiq saying billboards of sin. I've never known that sins prevent from visiting a Muslim in the hospital while they're sick. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he visited a Jewish boy while he was sick and he called him to Islam. And alhamdulillah, he accepted the Prophet's call alayhi salatu wasalam. So how much more visiting a Muslim? Not to mention that much good occurred in the visit. Wallahi alhamd. Abu al-Hasan, he taught the young brother how to make tayammum. He taught him the prayer of the sick. He reminded him to have good thoughts of Allah. We made dua for the youth. Nah. So again, inaccuracies there. Abu Muhammad wasn't in the hospital. And then the statement of Tawfiq saying billboards are sin, this is unwarranted. And it's not a criticism that's based upon any ilm. The next point, point number four. The point that Abu Muhammad mentioned about shaking Abu Muslim's hand, it was not merely due to the fact that he shook the hand of a well-known Hizbi. In which Abu Muhammad himself, he admitted that he regretted whilst doing it and afterwards. This is what he admitted. He said, I regretted it whilst doing it, and I regretted it afterwards. But it's not merely due to the fact that he shook the hand of this known Hizbi, Abu Muslima. But it was due to the fact that along with that, he and those with him had positions against Salafis, defenders of the Sunnah, without any advice from the scholars. Rather, they will walk past them and boast about it. For example, Abu Muhammad, he stated he was implementing Hajr al-Waqa'i of our brother Hassan Somali. And the scholar, they defined this as boycotting a person due to some harm that they perceive will come from that particular person. So they say, we make Hajr al-Waqa'i. Because you fear you want to be harmed by that particular person. When we asked the scholars about this, they said, we don't see that this is applied to the Salafi. But what did this show? This shows that it was him who first took a position of hatred against a person of Sunnah for no valid Islamic reason, along with those with him, such as Amin Manning, Mujahid Jamaiki, Abu Yusuf Khalifa. Rather, Abu Muhammad, he mentioned this in front of those brothers in a meeting that we had in March of 2012. I was there, Isa Underdu was there, and other brothers was there. He mentioned, I'm making Hajr al-Waqa'i. We called Hassan on the phone. When the brothers were speaking about Hassan, we said, speak to Hassan. He said, I'm not speaking to him. I'm making Hajr al-Waqa'i. I asked the brothers, I said, all y'all agree with that? They all went silent, put their heads down. Abu Yusuf was present. Mujahid Jamaiki was present. No one said, no, we don't agree with making Hajr al-Waqa'i against the Salafi. That was in March 2012, 6 years ago. The next point, point number five. As for his claim that our elder Talib Abdullah actually had a conversation with Abu Muslima, or that he was the one who set up a meeting, but Abu Muhammad, as he tries to claim, I just merely shook his hand, but he had a meeting with him. First of all, we say provide the evidence for that Talib had a meeting with this individual. The most which was related by Abu Muhammad Jamaiki is that Talib said, when he said he met the Talib said, I knew he was coming. But how can this be construed to mean that he set up a meeting with him? All he said is I knew he was coming. How can this be construed to mean that he set up a meeting with him? Sheikh Talib never said that he was in a meeting, that he was meeting him, or he did meet with him. Then on top of that, as for Abu Muhammad contacting Sheikh Abdullah Najmi and asking did he do anything wrong, did he also mention to Sheikh Abdullah Najmi that he was making hajr of a known Salafi, unwarranted hajr? Walking past known Salafis, not giving salams. And by Allah, I don't see that instance when he shook Abu Muslim's hand, except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliated him by shaking Abu Muslim's hand, and everybody else would let him ignore them. I don't see that except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala humiliated Abu Muhammad. Boasting that you're making hajr of a Salafi, but then when this hizbi comes, you're the only one that shakes his hand. Abu Muhammad the only one that shakes his hand. Nah, and Allah knows best. The sixth matter, as for him claiming that the brothers who made tabdi' of Sheikh Abdullah Bukhari and that despicable WhatsApp group, when Jamaica was from the admin, as for him claiming that they were advised to bring their evidence or retract it, then again, we challenge every last one of them. Bring that evidence where and when they were advised. Having that timestamp reflect before these horrendous attacks were brought to light. Before Allah exposed these horrendous attacks. Because when we looked in that group, days after, weeks after, nobody made any inkar upon the tabdi' of a known alim Salafi alim. No one made inkar. So, when did you advise this? And then it was a group, on top of that, let alone it being a group that had non-Salafis in it, many awam, common people. This individual makes a statement like this against a Salafi alim, that he's the head of the Haddad. Yeah, he's part of the new Haddadiyya. And it's his campaign. And Salafi pubs is behind him. Where did any of those administrators of that group make inkar upon this statement? Bring it. Bring when, where, and bring the timestamp that reflects that it happened before these allegations came to light and everybody learned about it. And also, if they did retract, please show us the retraction. And if they didn't retract, show us where you disassociated from those who made this unwarranted tabdi' on a Salafi scholar without evidence. Not to mention, many other Salafi du'at and sinners were spoken ill of in the group. Nah. So instead of addressing these specific issues in detail where scholars have been attacked, then again, Abu Muhammad creates another smokescreen to make it seem like he's the one who has been wrong, whereas the scholars and students have been slandered in this group, and he didn't come to the aid of the ulama. He didn't come to the aid of his Salafi brothers. Nine. The next point, as for Abu Muhammad's mention of not pardoning myself and Hassan, and meeting Allah with our oppression, quote unquote, upon him, although this has no reality, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he softens Abu Muhammad's heart. I ask Allah to soften his heart. Many Salafis have been harmed by Abu Muhammad's tongue. Abu Hassan Malik, Hassan Somali, Abu Muhammad al-Maghribi, being from among them. He turned many brothers who had love for one another for the sake of Allah against each other, based upon whispers, false claims, such as the statement, Somali has superstar dawah. That's the superstar dawah. Or, Somali does the same thing Tahir does. That's the same thing Tahir does. The things that he do, that's the same stuff Tahir does. And I heard both of these with my own two ears. When I first came back from Al-Madinah in 2009, I was teaching a masjid Ahl al-Hadith. There was ta'awun, cooperation. Brotherly love for the sake of Allah. As Khalifa even mentioned that thing that he responded to me, Khalifa would come to my house, spend the night in my house, open the house up for him. Naam, ta'awun, love for the sake of Allah. When Mujahid Jamaica first came to Philadelphia, I was the first one to take him to Masjid Ahl al-Hadith. Naam, these are brothers. Even Amin Manning, when he was the Imam in Atlantic City, he would be giving durus there, I would take my children back, and coming back to Philadelphia, I would bring Amin Manning back to the city. I'll wait for your darus is over so you don't have to catch the bus. And we'll drive back together, have beneficial conversations to the end of that. Nah, the affair was a mutual love for Allah's sake. Ta'awun upon Salafiyyah. However, Abu Muhammad Jamaiki persistently sought to turn me and others such as Anas Waters against brothers that I only knew good for Salafi. I only knew them for good. I only knew them for Salafi and defending it. And later on, when those brothers that I just referred to began teaching at Masjid Ahl al-Hadith and spending time around Abu Muhammad Jamaiki, They change for the worse. When you see them, no salams, stern faces. This was their mu'amala. This was something known. So how did brothers who at one point had love just suddenly turn and change like that? What was their errors brothers made in aqid or manhaj? If it was, present them. That warranted that type of mu'amala, that type of dealings. Stern faces, no salams. Where was the errors that brothers made in aqid and manhaj for people to act like that? If so, present them. But if not, it becomes clear that it was a result of the whisperings of Abu Muhammad Jamaiki. And by Allah, wallahi, alladhi la ilaha illahu, I told Abu Muhammad Jamaiki more than one time that if there are truly issues with our brothers, whether it be Hassan Somali, Abu Hassan Malik, let's all present them to the scholars for rectification. What will Abu Muhammad say? He dismissed it. It's not that deep. It's not that serious. Now we can handle it ourselves. On more than one occasion, I mentioned this to him, but obviously not, because he continued to speak about these brothers. A person may ask, "Clay Anwar, what's your beef?" He didn't speak about you. He was speaking only about Hassan. He was speaking about Abu Hassan. He was speaking about Abu Muhammad Maghribi. We said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma." Age your brother, whether he be the oppressor or the oppressed. So this is my position. When any Salafi is spoken about unjustly, whether it be a scholar, whether it be a student of knowledge, or whether it be a common person from the Salafis, no matter where they may be on earth, because this unwarranted speech about Salafis is unbefitting, and it shouldn't be tolerated from anyone. And it was Abu Muhammad Jamaiki who used to warn brothers against Germantown Masjid before any scholars preceded him. Perhaps the masjid is cursed, as he would say. Perhaps that masjid might be cursed the way they got it. Nah. So this is from the reasons why there was that disconnect. Why this disconnect occurred with the admin of Masjid Ahl Hadith. Unwarranted speech about Salafis. Unwillingness to pardon, forgive, overlook any shortcomings. Nobody's safe from shortcomings. Individuals not humbling themselves and recognizing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives virtue to whom He pleases in regards to knowledge and da'wah. But some people, they don't understand that. Or some people, they're unwilling to accept that. Instead of aiding them, instead of Abu Muhammad aiding them and assisting them upon bidr wa taqwa, righteousness and piety, he resented them. He directed underhanded, malicious attacks towards them. This would happen. To the point when the refutation came out against Tahir, I believe that was 2011. Now, a brother contacted me. He said, "What, Amr, you don't think you have to consult Abu Muhammad Jamaiki? He knows Tahir better than anybody. You don't think you have to consult him? I went down to Masjid Ahl Hadith. I said, "Abu Muhammad, I don't think I have to consult you. You're my brother. I respect you. Alhamdulillah, but I sought help from other brothers. Wallah alhamd. I got input from other brothers. Nah. And I wrote about it. I said, alhamdulillah, the majal is maftuh. If you have anything to add, alhamdulillah, go and add it. Wallah alhamd. And we'll support you." He said, "Nah, that's overkill. Nah, we don't have to. That's overkill." But the point is, يعني, this is the type of whispering and things like that would occur from Abu Muhammad, you know, to certain individuals. And again, these are from the reasons of the disconnect that occurred between Masjid Ahl Hadith and myself and other brothers. Now, these unwarranted speech about Salafis. From long ago, nothing new. It was nothing new. Now, also, Abu Muhammad just recently, as it came to light, even though it was in December of 2017, as it just came to light, not just a few months ago, he preempted warnings against the so-called Sa'atiqa in the Masjid Bukhari group, the WhatsApp group, before any evidence was presented against anyone. This is oppression. This is dhulm. Not any imaginary matters that never even happened. What did he say in this WhatsApp group? brothers have to review the principles. Some of the people that Sheikh Mohammed bin Hadi mentioned, some of our brothers in the West, they have strong connections with them. These issues will cascade down and eventually come out to light, and eventually come to light, which we haven't mentioned publicly. But Sheikh Mohammed is aware of what occurred here in the U.S. What occurred in the U.S.? Who started making tahdhir? Who started making hajj of Salafis? Who started walking past Salafis, not giving salams in the likes of these matters? Nah. It comes a time people get fed up with that type of stuff. It comes a time when people get fed up with those matters. So these matters are not anything new. And this is some of the things that I want to clarify in this talk and this clarification. And lastly, I would like to say before closing out that even though Abu Muhammad Jamaiki, he said that he won't forgive us on the day of judgment, I like to say I forgive him. I forgive Abu Muhammad Jamaiki, despite the public slander, despite the distortion of realities against me. I forgive him. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهَ لَكَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُرُ الرَّحِيمُ. Let them pardon and forgive. Do you not love that Allah should forgive you? And Allah is the all-forgiving, most merciful. Let them pardon and forgive. So me, I forgive them. Because I hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives me for my shortcomings. Now. And lastly, we end. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite the people of Sunnah upon that which is correct, the Quran, the Sunnah, and the way of the Salaf al-Salih. And this was dictated by myself, Anwar Wright, on the 22nd of Safar, 1440 after the Hijrah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, coinciding with October the 31st, 2018. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.